Enough of the commercial. Let's get down to preaching. Amen. Take out your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4, begin reading in verse 35. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35. Now, while you're turning there, let me kind of give you the setting of the text. We'll find out in Mark, the first three chapters, Jesus does a lot of miracles, healing the lame, delivering those who've been demon-possessed, curing leprosy, many, many miracles. A whole multitude of people were healed, I believe, in chapter 3. And so you see him doing a lot of healing. Then in chapter 4, we see him now by the seaside. A huge multitude is gathered. He sits in a little ship, and from that ship, he preaches to the multitude, teaching them many things through parables. So here's where we're at now in our Bible. Look at verse 35 now. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they say unto him, and they awaken him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity to preach the truth. People are looking for truth, many times not knowing where to find it. But Lord, we're thankful that we know the Bible is filled with truth. And Lord, help us to glean now from the pages that we're looking at. Help us to learn. Teach us things that will help us in our life. Encourage our hearts. Lift our spirits. Draw someone, Father, to Jesus, that he would be saved. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work in every heart that's here, the saved and the unsaved. May Christians be challenged, revived, encouraged. May those who are lost be convicted and be saved. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. I've entitled this message, The Master of the Sea. From this little story, tucked away here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, there's some very powerful things that we can learn, or some very powerful things that we can be reminded about. I think most of the things we're going to see in this story, we may already know. But a lot of times we need to be reminded about what we know. There might be some things in this story, you see it in a little different light. But the main thing I want you to see in this story is Jesus. I mean, we got to focus on him. Because in Christ, we'll find the answers for life. There's so many people that go through life troubled and in torment. There's too many Christians that live in turmoil, not really trusting the Master like they should. And we see this so vividly illustrated in this story. Now think with me now about this story. We find Jesus now and his 12 apostles in this little ship. Jesus had just performed days before this time many, many miracles. The apostles witnessed most all these miracles. They knew he was a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous man of God. I don't think they totally understood totally that he was the Messiah at this point. Maybe some did. And if they did accept him and understand him as the Messiah, not understanding his mission as the Messiah. Oh yes, they thought maybe he'd come to establish his kingdom on the earth. But that's not what his mission was. His mission was to seek and to save those that were lost. And then to show himself as the Savior, as the Messiah. Indeed, he was that. Maybe they had an inkling of what he was. They admired who he was, but I don't think they totally understand completely what he was. God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. And if any story that emphasizes and proves that very fact, it's this story. But let's look now for a few moments and follow with me now about this little story that we've just read to you. Now, as the disciples and Jesus are making their way across the sea, out of nowhere now comes a storm. And by the way, it was not uncommon for that to happen in the Sea of Galilee. Storms would come out of nowhere, it seems like. And here they were going across the sea, and Jesus had just preached some wonderful truths. But we find him now asleep on the hinder part of the ship. We see him then in a human form. Jesus was 100% human, but 100% God. Great is the mystery of godliness. 100% man, because we see him now asleep, exhausted. All his traveling, all his preaching, all his teaching, surrounded by multitudes, finally just totally exhausted in his human body, he falls to sleep, his head on a pillow, not a pillar, a pillow. We talked about that last year. His head asleep on a pillow. And all of a sudden, here comes a storm. I mean, out of nowhere. Now think about it. Here are 13 men, including Jesus, on board this ship. 12 out of the 13 were godly men. One was not a godly man, Judas Iscariot. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. But here we find 12 godly men, including Jesus, 13 total, on board the little ship, and out of nowhere now, here these good men are experiencing a horrible, horrible, horrible raging storm. They become so fearful. I mean, and they're just paralyzed with fear. Sometimes, folks, we'll go through a storm. I mean, a storm just seems to hit us, bang, out of nowhere. We don't expect it. Maybe a financial storm. Maybe a physical storm. Maybe an emotional storm. Maybe a relational storm. Something will come out of nowhere without warning and bang, will hit you upside the spiritual head. And you become afraid. Oh, you may be saved. You might be a Christian. You're faithful to the house of God. You are a good person. You read your Bible. You pray every day. You give tithes of all you possess. You're doing your best. You love Jesus. But you're still not exempt from storms. Some people have got the misconception. Say, well, boy, since I got saved, and I'm glad I got saved, because now everything is going to be smooth. Yeah, right. Fat chance. Does not the Bible teach us that rains on the just and on the unjust? Along sometimes when the rains come through storms. It was what's happening in our little adventure reading right here now in the life of Christ. I mean, the wind was boisterous, smashing against that little ship. Rain was coming down. So much rain, so much waves were crashing into the ship. The ship was taking on water to the point it began to sink. And finally, the fearful disciples, afraid of drowning, one of them finally goes back and remembers the master's on board. I mean, they were suffering with all this fear and worried about this storm, thinking they're going to drown. And all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. Jesus is on board. Maybe he can do something. They finally run back to the hinder part of the ship, awaken the master. They get the wording as he's awakened. Master, master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, don't you care about us? I mean, there's a horrible wind in the way. Look at the water all over this ship, and we're going to go down. Don't you care anything about us? Yeah, great faith, huh? I mean, they had watched him heal leprosy, a palsy man who could not walk, strengthen him, he could begin to walk. Those possessed by demons, lives straightened up, minds returned back to normal, strength given to bones and to muscles, miracle after miracle they witnessed, and knowing how much he cared, saw how he cared for the multitudes, those he didn't even know personally. He knew these men personally. He selected and handpicked them. And the first word out of their mouth in the middle of the storm was, "Carest thou not we perish?" Now please hear me now. Let's don't fault the apostles. Let's look at ourselves. How many times have we been in a storm? I mean, the storm hit us. We weren't expecting it. Things were going pretty good for us. But wow, here comes a storm. And so many times in our fear, in our anxiety, instead of running to the master right away, we question God. Carest thou not? He cared so much that he sent his only begotten son to die. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. I mean, sometimes we as Christians lack so much in faith. And here these hand-picked apostles who saw and witnessed miracle after miracle, they questioned Jesus, "Carest thou not?" Folks, we got to remember, in the time of the storms, he does care. He knows what's going on. Now listen, sure, Jesus was asleep, fast asleep, the man part of him, but the God part of him was very awake. God doesn't sleep nor slumber. He knew what was going on. But hear me now. The storm was a test of their faith. And they flunked the test when they ran back to awaken him and uttered the words, "Carest thou not?" How many times have I failed a test? How many times have you failed the test? And oftentimes God, now follow me now, God will allow a storm to test and build your faith. That's why he allows them. It's a process of testing to see how real it is and to build your faith. Those who build huge muscles, you know, these guys with the rippling biceps, you know, they go through a lot of pain to get that. You know, they have to go to the gym every day, work out for hours and do the crunches and the push-ups and the pull-ups and the weights and all that kind of stuff. But after testing and testing and testing their muscles to the very nth degree, finally, this little flab here begins to get some, kind of hard. Now they begin to get cut. They get a six-pack. I mean, look in the mirror and go, but they go through a lot of pain to get there. Listen to me now. God wants our faith to be built up. And it requires sometimes some testing to build the faith. Now listen and follow me now. Storms, we all go through storms. Is there anyone here that never been through a life storm, problems? How many of you have never had a problem? All of you have, haven't you? Oh, constantly, huh? I mean, isn't it sometimes like, whew, man, got through that storm. Here comes another one. Isn't that the way life is? Life is filled with storms. Now, hear me now. I want to put storms in two different categories because I am convinced as I read the Word of God and as I live life that storms come through two different sources. One is satanic in nature, allowed by God. Okay, preacher, what are you talking about? Look. Remember Job? You remember the story of Job in Job chapter 1? You need to read it sometime. And as you read it and see it develop, that Lucifer came, and he was a fallen angel. He was a son of God, one of the creations of God. You know the story. He came, and all the sons of God gathered. And as Lucifer gathered before God, God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none other like him in all the world. Man of integrity and character. Man who's without sin. A great man. Have you considered my servant Job?" Remember that? And Satan says, "Well, you let me get my hands on him because you have a hedge, hear me now, you have a hedge built around Job that I can't get to him. You remove the hedge and he'll curse you to your faith, your face." You remember that story? Listen, what happened? God said, "Okay, I'll show you what kind of man Job is. He is a man of character and integrity. Go ahead, do with him as you will. I'll remove the hedge, but you cannot touch his body." So what happened to Job? Storms begin to hit Job's life unbelievably. Read it for yourself. First thing happened. Job had 10 sons and daughters. They were over to the eldest son having a banquet. Job and his wife were their own home. All of a sudden comes a servant, burst in and says, "Job, the Sanbeds have came in. These thieves have came in. And they've stolen. They have stolen all your cattle. And all the servants were killed. And I alone, I escaped to tell you this, what just happened. You've lost all your cattle." No more of the words came out of his mouth. Another servant came in. It said, "A lightning came out of heaven and crashed and killed 7,000 sheep. Your entire flock of sheep are wiped out. And all your servants were also killed by that lightning except me. I'm still here." No more than the words got out of his mouth, another servant came running. It said, "The Chaldeans have came in and have taken all your cattle. They're all gone. I mean, all your camels, they're all gone. Your camels are gone." He lost his oxen, his asses. He lost his sheep and his camels. He lost all of his means of wealth. He lost everything, was gone, totally financially destitute. If that wasn't enough, in ran a fourth servant and says, "Job, Job, Job, I just left your eldest son's house and a great storm came, hit the house, destroyed the house, and killed all 10 of your kids." And folks, you hear me now. God has got a hedge about us. You hear me now. And if Satan could get through that hedge, or if God removed the hedge, he would literally destroy every human being on this planet. He despises humans. Why, you say, preacher, why does the devil hate me so much? I believe because we are made in the image of God. And Satan cannot harm God, so he tries his best to harm God's image, man and woman. And only when God lifts the hedge to allow Satan to bring a storm, and the only reason he ever lifts the hedge is to develop our faith, causing someone to use their faith to trust Christ, to be saved, or lift the hedge to cause a Christian to have a storm to increase their faith. But still, it's satanic in nature, as God allows the hedge to be lifted, and it's always, listen, for ultimately our good. Remember the life of Joseph? As his brothers treated him horribly. And later on, Joseph says, "You meant it for my harm, but God meant it for my good." So folks, one storm that we all experience because we're humans is satanic attack. But God only allows it to draw us to Him, to strengthen our faith, to better us as a person, to build us up spiritually in muscle, only as God allows. Yeah, we all experience that one. But there's another means of storms. This category over here. Two categories. One, demonic in nature, as God allows. Two, self-inflicted storms, caused by selfishness, caused by poor choices and bad decisions. But think about it. How many storms have you caused in your life because you did something really dumb? How many's ever did that besides me? I mean, you did something so stupid, and because of your stupidity or your jealousy or your pride or your envy, you made a very bad choice and you begin to have a storm. You brought it on yourself. I got an 18-year-old grandson. Would you please pray for him? He's been attacked by Satan. He has diabetes. And it's very critical. He won't take his medicine. He won't take his insulin like he's supposed to. That's self-inflicted. If we just do his insulin like he's supposed to, it'd help him tremendously in his diabetes. But he just makes horrible choices. He went 6 days last week without taking any insulin. His blood sugar was over 600. Many people are in comas or even dead at that. But regularly he does things like that. Stupid, poor choices. He's going through a storm right now. But most of my grandson's storms, apart from the diabetes, he had no control over that. But so many of them are the dumb things he's done. Just poor choices. And we all have done that. But folks, we're going to have storms. I mean, there's some folks here this morning, you're going through a storm financially. I mean, you lost your job, or you had to take a lot lesser job just to make ends meet. I mean, you're financially really struggling right now. You're in a real storm financially. Some of you folks right now having a storm physically. I mean, some of you folks may have cancer. One of your faithful church members just had an open heart surgery, now got MRSA. I mean, struggling, a horrible storm physically. Other folks in your family having horrible storms right now, physically. And you say, "Lord, why? Why am I going through this storm? God, it's not fair. I go to church. I read my Bible. I love Jesus. I'm one of your children. God, it's not fair." Life isn't fair. It does rain on the just or the unjust. But here's the thing, folks. We got to remember, what the apostles forgot, that Jesus is on board. And we can't have the attitude, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus, he says to them, "Why is it that you have," look at the wording now, "why you have no faith?" What an indictment. Look at it for yourself. Why is it, Jesus, that you have no faith? He didn't say, why is it you have little faith, tiny bit of faith? He says, why is it you have no faith? Why they didn't have any faith? They got so caught up in the storm, they forgot about Jesus, the master of the sea. So what happens? Oh, we just read it. "Carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus, and I can see, wiping the sleep from his eyes. Of course, he already knew about the storm because that's the God part of him. Walks to the bow of the ship. The apostles wondering, what is he going to do? What does he do? He speaks to the wind and to the sea. "Peace, be still." I got quite an imagination. I can see this huge wave. A huge wave that's a rogue wave. It comes out of nowhere. It's 10 times larger than the other waves that have been crashing into the ship. And it didn't do a pretty good job of drowning the ship. But here comes the finisher. I mean, it's big, it's powerful. And it's coming across thinking, "I'm going to crush this little boat and drown every one of them." It takes imagination to do that now, folks. But then the voice of the Creator. Amen. The voice of the Master cries to the elements, "Peace, be still." And here's that wave. Lays down like a puppy. What's the reaction? Look at the reaction now of the apostles. "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, what should they have done? Let's think about it. When the storm first began to hit, when the wind got contrary, the waves got higher, the wind and the rains began to blow in, immediately, shouldn't they have not ran to the Master and said, "Excuse me, Jesus, but would you please take care of this storm? We're getting a little afraid." No. They first says, "Well, we're macho men. Hey, we're handpicked of the 12. We can handle this." Yeah, about 10 minutes. So many times we try to handle things in the energy of the flesh and we fail so miserably. Forgetting the most important part about our being is that's our faith. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." All through the Scriptures, faith, 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 faith. And what we need to do as believers, and when the storm hits, remember the Master is on board. Some of you folks are experiencing severe storms right now. I remind you, the Master is on board. And some of you that are causing your own storms, wake up. Smell the coffee. Wise up a little bit. Don't rely on your own intellect. Don't battle life the energy of your flesh. You're no match for the devil. Run to Jesus. If you've never accepted him, Now's a tremendous time because you're going through some storms right now and you're going to go through more storms. I promise you that because that's life. Run to the master of the sea and he can say, peace, be still. And that thing that's troubling you the most can lie down like a puppy because the master has spoken. So what do we need? We need the master in our life. And quickly turn to him when the storms rage. And he will see us through. The master of the sea. Let's stand for prayer.